I didn't see Gay sitting up there. She got pictures. I want to make sure there was a picture, and you got it. Good, good. Amen. Everybody enjoy that? Say praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Glad you're here today. Between that and the kids kind of doing a little of this during worship, we had some stuff happening. Yeah, you can do that, can't you? Who can do that among you? Can you do it? Who can do it? I know Audrey can, right? Can anybody else do it besides Audrey? You can do it? Can you do it? Okay, come on up right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. I remember Martina. You guys were doing that one time outside. Martina was just standing beside you going like, what are they doing? Okay. Okay, there. I have a feeling that's illegal in about 15 states. So, yeah. But good job. All right, good. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, a voice from over here behind Janie said, I don't know who their mother is, so, oh, mercy. This is a lot of fun. This is fun. We want to keep this going. Let's get our Bibles on. Keep this going. All right. Thank you for being here today, and it is a special day to celebrate. We want to welcome Brady and Mindy Vaught and the rest of the folks that are here, and we're going to tell you more about them after a while. This is a great day to celebrate baptism. You know, baptism is like commencement. It's the beginning. And the thing that's exciting to me is I think about that's how Jesus started his ministry. And when Jesus came to the water, he just came. He didn't say anything. He just came. Well, he had to say one thing because John was like, no, I should be baptized by you. And all he said was, no, we need to do this because this is what the Bible says. And so that's why we're baptizing it, because we just need to do this, because of what the Bible says. And Jesus hadn't done a miracle, hadn't taught anything. He didn't do it. He just came. And then it launched his life. It was that turning point. We're going to pray later that that's what happens in the lives of these folks, all the way from Thatcher up to a couple of gentlemen, one that just turned 90. They're getting baptized there. So it's a great day. A couple of scriptures we want to look at in our Bibles. First of all, 1 John chapter 4. And chapter 3, and then Matthew chapter 1. I want to begin talking to you about something today that I hope will be a change in direction of, not a big change. I'm not talking about like a 90-degree turn or 180-degree turn. Now, some people, it may have to be that. But I pray it's a turn that gets us focused on what really matters. On what really matters. A couple of weeks ago, we talked in 1 John chapter 4 about this idea of love. And the thought was this. First of all, 1 John chapter 4, he talks about the prophets who are trying to sidetrack them, get them caught up in the little meaningless arguments and teachings that in somewhat of a past vernacular don't matter to a hill of beans, don't amount to a hill of beans. And John was like, this is not what matters. Let me tell you what matters. And so in chapter 4, about verse 7 down through there, he starts to unpack this. I would hope there would be some way that we could allow our hearts and our minds to be sensitive to what the Spirit wants to say in about the next 25, 30 minutes. Okay, let's pray right now. Jesus, help us to hear not what I have to say, Lord, but what you have to say, Jesus. And Lord, help us to put aside our preconceived ideas, our past failures, and some of the past things that have caused us to be trapped. And Lord, may there be a release today for your word to find a place in our hearts so that we're being renewed. That we're not just being challenged, we're being transformed. We're not just being taught, we're being transitioned into something you want us to be. Because Lord, there's a world around us that needs this good news. That needs what we're going to talk about. And so, Lord, help us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in chapter 4 of 1 John, he talks about the theme of loving each other. He makes it very clear that this love that we have for each other is not something based on flowers and candy and a nice dinner out and all the other things that we think of, a card, all the other things we think of when it comes to love. It's based on a God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, this God who, verse 16, loves us so much that he gave his life up for us. That's where this love begins. That's where it starts. Any love that you and I have for each other is only, at best, a reflection of His love for us. Does that make sense? Okay? And when we talk about, as a holiness people, when we talk about righteousness and holiness, it's based on this perfect love that started back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave His life. It's a cross. It's an empty tomb. In 24 days, we're going to make that journey back to Israel and look one more time into that empty tomb. And guess what? It's still going to be empty, you know? Yes, right. All because of a love that was initiated by Him for us. So the best you and I can do with love is a mirror, okay? You cannot originate. You can reflect love because He's loved us first. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But what we looked at a couple weeks ago was this thought about this love that He sent His Son, it says specifically. He loved us this much. And He starts giving us this second half of the teaching in chapter 4, also back in chapter 3. The second half of that side is that because Jesus gave His life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, I love love. I love it. I think love is an awesome thing. Whether it's our pets or family, whatever, it's love is exciting. And it's fun to watch people who are in love. And I'm not going to go off into any stories today. You just fill in your own story, okay? Because I don't want to get incriminated from what I'm about to say as a result of what I'm thinking about what love looks like. But it's a powerful, awesome, exciting, life-changing thing. I hope that today that we could somehow, some way, put what the world describes and what the world offers up as the stuff of life and allow this perfect love that comes from Jesus dying for us to be unleashed in our life. In fact, I want to give you this today, okay? Whatever goes in this, whatever goes in your bucket is what you become. It's true. It's true. Whatever goes in here, it says... out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says that as a man thinketh, so he is. All these different scriptures that reflect on whatever I allow to come into my life will become me. And so if you're allowing stuff to come into your life that doesn't reflect Jesus' love, then you look in the bucket and you're like, why does it look like that? Why do I behave that way? Why is my life going this way? Well, what are you putting in the bucket? You know, so I'm just giving that. And I have one of these on my desk. This is one off the desk. I carry one in the car because it's a reminder. As I go today, what am I going to put in the bucket? What am I going to allow in the bucket? Do I need to change the channel on the radio? Do I need to unfriend that person? Do I need to stop following that group? Do I need to change something in my behavior, in my life? Because the bucket, it's what I'm becoming. Does that make sense? If you don't get anything else, remember the bucket, okay? Let's say that together. Remember the bucket. Remember the bucket. And don't kick it. All right, let's go. Now, at least not today. Wait till Jesus calls you, then you can kick away, okay? I shared this a couple weeks ago. I want to say it again. The idea of darkness becoming light in our lives, they were asked, Richard Foster quotes this, an old sage was teaching his students, and he says, when does darkness become light? And one of them says, well, darkness becomes light when I look outside and I can tell that that is a pineapple tree and not a palm tree. I know that darkness is becoming light. One guy says, darkness becomes light when I realize that that animal I see is a fox and not just a dog. And the guy keeps shaking his head and they're like, what do you mean? He said, darkness becomes light when I can look at each person around me and understand that is my brother and that is my sister. That's when darkness becomes light. That's when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. No matter if they attend the same church I attend, no matter what their skin color is, even if they're not a believer, I'm just going to love them. Because that's what the Bible tells me to do in 1 John chapter 4. I'm just called to love them. In fact, a scripture that's really been living in my life for a while is in John, the Gospel of John 13:35, and it says this, they're going to know if you're a Christian or not, not by what you carry in the way of a Bible, not by your bumper sticker on your car, not by whether or not you wear a cross around your neck, but you will be found out as a disciple of Jesus by the love you show everybody else. The Jesus love that you show everybody else. That's the key. That's what, in fact, Jesus in the midst of that in chapter 13 of John, He's preparing to go to the cross. And He's talking about love. In fact, at the first part of John chapter 13, said it showed the extent of His love. Now it says He was going to show them the extent of His love. And He started washing their feet. When was the last time you washed somebody's feet? Jesus came, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a sacrifice. Your life is not to be just sucking it in, unless you're sucking in his love. It's to be given out. It's to be just like he. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to give out. I came to share. Giving, giving, giving. His life, his love. And so we find that. In fact, we talked about the word perfect, this perfect love that we're supposed to have as the telescope illustration. If you were here a couple weeks ago, the old pirates had the telescope, and it was all scrunched up, kind of like that disposed, that cup that you could get that would scrunch all up, the travel cup, and you extend that thing out, and then when it's extended out, that's when it's valuable. The same thing, that periscope does not get to look as, or telescope does not get to look the way it needs to look until it's extended. That's God's love being unleashed in our lives. Takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work. In fact, as I read on in 1 John chapter 3, he says this, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? How can his love be in me if I'm not showing compassion? That's pretty interesting. Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. You can be confident on the day of judgment. I'm going to say that again. You can be confident on the day of judgment because his love fills us. His love flows out of us. That's simple, but it's not easy. Let me say that again. It's simple, but it's not easy. His love can fill us, but the key is, does it flow out of us? Now, I want to give you one more scripture. We're going to camp on this probably for the rest of the message. In Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, pretty exciting. It's the genealogy of Jesus, his ancestors. And then we get down to about verse 18, and things really get rocking. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born, Matthew 1, 18. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her. Now, he's trying to deal with all this news, and an angel appears to him and says this, the child within her was conceived, at the end of verse 20, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now we're getting to the good stuff. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the foundation. That's the cornerstone of our faith. That's why we celebrate baptism, because people today are coming up here, and guess what? Jesus has done a work in their lives. And they're here to tell us to just by the act of getting in the water, Jesus is Lord. He's done this in my life. So now we're getting started. But now, the thing is, and this is why I want to give you this one thing, because I want to reference a book. I'm not going to quote from the book, but the book has inspired my life. The book is named Love Does. If you have ever heard of Bob Goff, if you haven't heard of him, it's Goff, G-O-F-F, not G-O-L-F, G-O-F-F, Bob. The book is Love Does. You need to get it. You need to read it. If you want to comprehend where this is going in my life, again, I'm not using the book. I'm inspired by the book. And one of the key things that I'm seeing as I study that is this in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus coming to save us from our sins. Now, and he says this. In chapter 23, he's quoting, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, this is the key. This is the last piece of that puzzle that makes it all come together. For love to work in your life, you have to have Emmanuel in your life, the God with us. And to do life, and this is what I want to encourage you with this morning, to do life, you got to have Jesus with you to do life. I know there's a lot of good organizations out there. There are service organizations. There are all these groups that do all these wonderful things to help preserve environmental things and rebuild homes and all this stuff that's going on. We're the group out there that's walking with Jesus. Now, you can be in those groups and walk with Jesus, but it's like the very first thing that we need to know about to be part of this group, okay? There's not a membership fee that you have to pay. There's not dues. Well, there is tithe. But I didn't set that up. That's a God thing. That's between you and God. I don't keep record. It's just between you and God. It's just that this is the key, because we read this and this is how it all started. For this love, which we read about later in the New Testament, to be unleashed in our lives, we have to be tied in with Emmanuel. And the good news is this. If you remember the bucket, remember this. Jesus wants to help you fill up the bucket. God with us. You do not have to live a defeated, depressed, messed up life, because Jesus wants to be in your life and help your life. He wants to do life with you. I know that sounds so simple, but it almost sounds missing from our vernacular, from our vocabulary, because we think of all these other things that are in our world, and we're like, oh yeah, there's Jesus too. That's right, I drove by a church the other day. They were having a revival. They were having an ice cream social. They were having some kind of event. But it's this idea that day by day and moment by moment, Jesus wants to do life with us. When something comes along that you were not expecting. Last week in Cheyenne, they were not expecting a hailstorm with golf. No, with baseball-sized hail. There's a difference between a golf ball and a baseball. They were not expecting baseball-sized hail that took out roofs, that blew out, knocked out windows. Our granddaughter's baby room, the glass was blown right into the baby's bed in the baby room. The siding on the house had these holes. They were not expecting that. But when life comes at you, like the commercial says, when life comes at you fast, it's more than an insurance company. It's the idea that God, that Jesus is with us. I have to say that again and again, because it's kind of like John earlier talking about smiling when you sing. I just don't know. Do we know that he wants to do life with us? He prophesied this. This is being fulfilled in Matthew, but it was prophesied through Isaiah in chapter 7 in the Old Testament. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It's the northern and the southern kingdom, and for years they're fighting back and forth. The one side of the kingdom takes the lead for a while and kind of tears them up, and then the other side takes the lead for a while. They go into exile, and all these crazy things happen. And in the midst of all the crazy things happening, in chapter 4:7 of Isaiah, the prophet says this: there's going to be a virgin someday that will give birth to a child. He will be the Messiah, and he will be Emmanuel. He will be God. And I'll tell you what, when the people of God hear that, their ears perk up every time. God with us, that's all I need to know. God with us, that's what matters. We have pictures of God in the Old Testament. He's known as a rock, a tower, a refuge, a firm foundation. He's known as a father, a friend, a king. We see what he does. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He's a healer. Amen. But the most important thing to know about him is he wants to do life with you. He wants to do life with you. You know, I'm blessed in my life, and I know you are too. I've got some guys in my life that I'm doing life with. Back when I was 35 years old, woke up one day realizing 2 weeks after my 35th birthday that I was 35. And I realized that I didn't, at that point in my life, know very many people at all who were over 70. So for me, 40 was not the midlife crisis, 35 was. I didn't buy a car, I just got depressed. And I was like, what, 35? We had a lot of dysfunction going on around us in that time. We had people who were at the hospital that were on suicide watch. We had a lady that did take her life. We had other situations where people were dealing with drug addictions and alcohol and all kinds of stuff. And it was a messed up. And I was like, I woke up one day, I thought, do I want to do this another 30 years? Do I want to do this? And so I was like in the dumps. And so Janie gets on the phone. She calls my buddy Paul Whiteford, who's preaching over in Ohio this morning at a camp meeting. It's Paul, Jim's in the dumps. No, he's not going to cut himself. He's just in the dumps. And so sure enough, I get a phone call right away. Paul says, hey, I just had a phone call, and I need to talk to you. And he talked me back, and because he was with me. Do you have those friends that are with you? Those friends that when you get in the dumps, they're there, and they're just going to be... See, I learned this. I was talking to some kids and youth this week about this whole mentor thing. Now we're getting ready to take the next step after baptism into mentoring. And one of the things they shared with me, Laura gave me this article, and it said there are four things you need to know to mentor teens, and one of them is you got to get in their mess. You can't do it out there and just say, well, when I was a teen, we didn't do stuff like that. Right. That's not going to mentor. That's a judge. We don't need any more judges. Need to have somebody that's going to get up here and do this, you know, and whatever that looks like. You know, I don't know. Just do life. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So I go back to the chiropractor. We'll get that taken care of. But to do life with, what does that look like? Jesus didn't come for us just to serve him. He came to do life with us. To do life. That's what love does. In fact, he says it in 1 John chapter 3 and in chapter 4. You want to know what love is all about? It's not just the words. It's not just the stuff you give somebody. It's your presence. When you go to the hospital and somebody's just getting ready to translate from here to eternity, you don't have to know what to say. You're just there. You just hold a hand. You just kind of just quietly just be still and know that I am God. You know, just one of those Psalm 46:10 moments. Just when somebody's in the nursing home, you know, I just go to listen. I just go to listen. I had a great visit with Jesse this week, and Jesse's 104. I'm thinking there's 100 years difference between the grandson and Jesse. That's just awesome, you know? And I'm learning from the 4-year-old and the 104-year-old. And I meet her roommate this week, and she's over 100, so I'm learning a lot, you know? And Jesse doesn't, there are times her memory comes and goes, and she's going along, and I'm listening, and then she just starts tearing up. She goes, but you know what? Whatever time I have left on this earth, I want to live for Jesus. I just want to continue to love him and tell other people about. I mean, she was in the zone. And at that moment, we're doing life, and Jesus just shows up, and we're just having a great time. Jesse and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And she got finished, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, I should probably have my teeth in, shouldn't I? I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice. And then we both laughed. We just had a great laugh. But it's doing life with. It's doing life with. It's just instead of when you see somebody on the corner saying, what a poor sorry, stop and say, hey, how's life? Maybe just get out of your car, park, and just stand with them for a minute. Just kind of connect, you know? Just connect. Doing life. We're here to learn. We're here to get experience. We're here to do stuff, you know? And something I learned this week, the Lord just showed me one more time. I gotta put the media away, you know? Put down the cell phone. I had a pastor friend of mine. I may have told you this story. We were in Cracker Barrel, another town. I won't tell you where. You might guess who it is. He, his wife, and all their 4 kids were in this restaurant in this Cracker Barrel and Anderson. But I won't tell you anyway. But he's Brad's sitting there. Oh crud! Anyway, but he's sitting there, Brad Bureau, and he's sitting there. He and his wife, and all their kids. And they're all on their cell phones around the round table when you walk right into Cracker Barrel. And I was like, what? So I've got Brad's number. So I texted, look up from your phone and enjoy time with your family. All of a sudden, that you just see it's like somebody's, and he looks, and I was like, Gomer says, hey, that's right. We've got, folks, put down the phone. If you're out to eat, if you're out on a date, if you're out for a walk, you just put it down. Because you're not with somebody. Well, you're with somebody, but you're not with who you're with. Does that make sense? And there may be some stuff we got to get rid of in our lives, you know? If I drive by your house and it looks like you're having a garage sale and you're not, you probably got too much stuff, you know? Okay? If I open up your garage and it looks like a garage sale is happening, but it's not, there's stuff in there, you know? And I'm like, okay, what's in, if all the stuff is in the bucket, I don't have time for his love to get in there. That love that went to the cross can't get in there. That love that wants to flow out of my life, I got to get that in there. One thing he wants us to do, and I heard this from a professor in college back in 1981. He said, and this is in 81. This is before the internet and anything else came along. He said, there is no time for Jesus. You have to make time. I hear it now. It's like there is no space for, you have to create space in your life. You have to create space in your life for Jesus. Yes. Are we doing that? Because he's the one that, he's done all the work already. And so what does he say? Just allow my love, this perfect love that causes you to love everybody, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in your sight, yes. Young or old, Israeli, Muslim, yes. Hindu, right. Shinto, Presbyterian, you love them all. It's because of his love, not because of me. The problem is when I'm in the bucket, when I have all my stuff in the bucket, then I love somebody the way I think I ought to love them. If his love is in the bucket, I'm going to feel a whole lot different about that. You say, well, Jim, I don't know if I have time to do all that stuff. Well, yes, you do. You do. You have the same 24 hours a day that I do. People look up and they revere people like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, you have the same 24 hours in your day that they have had in their day. Maybe if we took an extra 5 to 10 minutes off and made a little space and went to bed 10 minutes early, then we got up 10 minutes early and made a little space for the word, you know? Yeah, well, I don't have time. I get up in the morning just in time to get to work or get to school or whatever. No, just make that time and that space to allow him to speak into you. I want to give you three things, then we're going to wrap it up and we're going to have some fun baptizing people. I want you to do this. Number one, take time. Write this down. Take time and find somebody who has done life with you and tell them thank you. Look up that person. I've gotten to know a guy recently. His first name is Zaki. He's running for Senate. I'm doing what I can to be Jesus to Zaki. And when I listened to his testimony, he said, the people in my life that made a difference were my first grade teacher and my high school football coach. So there it is. And he's kept in touch with both those people. And he's gone back to him and thanked him again. Who has poured into your life? Thank them. I have people that are still living, that are Christians, that poured into my life. I met one of them about a year and a half ago down at the National Day of Prayer at the Capitol. They came up from Rolla, Missouri. Coach Stoltz was the one that Jesus was speaking through him and pouring the Jesus love into my life before I ever became a Christian. When God called me to ministry, my mom, who is a teacher, and Coach Stoltz, who is a coach there, mom goes to him and says, what are we going to do? He says the Lord wants him to be a preacher. Oh, and Coach Stoltz says, that's the best news of all, Ruth. You should rejoice. Isn't it amazing how God used a coach and all that? And I'm so thankful for Coach Stoltz. Tell them thank you. Write them a note. Don't just text them or message them on Facebook. Write them a note. Find them. Take them out to a meal and just say, thank you for being Jesus in my life. They may need that at that very moment. The second thing is this. You've done that. Now, find someone. Find someone that you need to be Jesus to, that you need to love, that you need to do life with. You're a mentor. I'm finding kids, a lot of kids and young adults and adults. I'm like, just do life with them. The problem is, and I know we have to be careful because of ministry safe and sanctuary, safe sanctuary and all these other things that are in place. We need background checks and all that stuff. But we cannot let that keep us from doing life with people. We cannot allow that. So find somebody else and just say, hey, I'm with you. I'm doing life with you. I want to be in your life. Jesus loves you and me. Let's make it three, you know? Let's just do this thing. And don't just think about it. And you're, oh, please, this too. You're not there to fix them, okay? When you step into somebody else's life to do life with them, do not try to fix them, okay? Can we just say that together? Do not try to fix them. You know what? When Jesus comes, he just loves. And his love blows me away so much that I get convicted about the fact that I'm not living the way I should live. I'm like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. I've sinned. I've fallen. I've messed up. Because your love is just, it's like that light. I can't even, it's so bright and it's the cross. So we walk into other people's life. We're not there to fix it. And if they need us to pray about something, don't just say you're going to pray about it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't make a big deal. Keep it simple. Just do life. So find somebody who's loved you and poured into you and thank them. Maybe a parent, maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, maybe a neighbor, whoever it is. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Number two, do that with someone else. Pour into their lives. And something about that, not on your schedule, on their schedule, okay? Don't call them and say, I've got 30 minutes next Tuesday. I'd like to pour into your life. That's not serving. That's not serving. You do not do it on your schedule. You do not set the parameters. You're just there doing life. I will tell you a Bob Goff story. He was ready after high school just to walk away and just go off and live in Yosemite Park. I think that's pretty cool. He just wanted to go live in the park. And so he went to a guy that was kind of somebody just hung around the high school. Turned out it was kind of one of those Youth for Christ kind of people, campus life people. And he says, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I'm taking off. I'm going to Yosemite. And the guy looked at him. He says, that's great. He said, wait right here. He went in, 2 minutes later, came back, had a backpack and a sleeping bag. He says, I'm going with you. I'm like, really? I said, I thought you had. He said, I'm going with you. So he took off, and the whole thing, you can read it in his book and all. And it turns out it all falls apart, and he comes back, and he takes his buddy back to his house, and sure enough, there's a girl there at his house. And he says, what'd your girlfriend move in while we were gone? He said, no, this is my wife. We just got married a couple weeks before you came by the house. But see, he loved Jesus, his wife loved Jesus, and neither one of them wanted Bob to go off a cliff somewhere. And so he walked away from as a newlywed to go do life with him for a couple weeks until he got his back together. So, pours into you, you pour into them, and the third thing is this, and this is a biggie. This is going to be the hardest one of all. But it's going to be the most, I don't know if it'll be, it'll be one of the fun ones. Okay, the fun thing is the first two as well. This is also really fun, okay? Quit something this week. This is number three. Just quit something this week, okay? And what I'm saying is this. I'm not talking about changing your job and all these other things. What I am talking about is making space in the bucket for Jesus. If you got too much stuff, maybe this week on your day off, you need to put your cell phone in a cabinet somewhere, in a drawer somewhere for the whole day off and stay off the internet all day long. Just quit something. Or maybe you have relationships. There's a song I heard years ago, sticks in my mind, Life Uncommon. Not a Christian song, but has some value to it. No longer lend your strength to that which you wish to be free from. That's what sin is. Sin is something that binds us up. Sin is something that wants to steal our joy and steal our focus in life. And so here it is, folks. Thank the person who poured into you. Pour into somebody else. Do life with somebody. And then just start. Just get stuff out of the bucket. You'll find as you make space for Jesus, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an amazing adventure. And he will do some awesome things. One of these days, we're going to have Brady come back and tell us all about their ministry that they've started. It's an amazing thing. If you see on Facebook, there's a group that I'm privileged to follow. I got rid of a lot of groups. There's only a couple I even follow. Yours is one of them. And it's called the Come As You Are Youth Group. Just come as you are. And they're hanging out on the south end of Muncie and cooking burgers and dogs and playing games and teaching kids about just doing life with kids and adults. And you're going to see the fruit of that labor here in just a little bit as we baptize him. I'll let him come back another time and tell you the whole story. But in a minute, I want to pray for him as he leads this ministry, and it is a ministry. But I want to, the concept I'm talking about here, and this is the wrap-up, it's like Jesus teaching and saying this, new wine, new wineskins. We have to allow the wineskin of our life to allow this new love to be poured out in our hearts. See, if we're content with just being the same, we're going to miss something new that God wants to do in our lives. I guess I think about my buddy Mark told me one time, he said, could it be that God called 5,000 people in the day that Abraham lived and only Abraham responded? You know? Or Joseph. I mean, could have been all these. And God was just looking for the one to say, yes, here am I, Lord, send me. Same thing happens today. The call is going out all over the place. Jesus, help us this morning in these moments to understand the value of doing life with your love flowing out of us to a world that just needs to know they're valued and cared for and that Jesus really lives. Because that's how people are going to know we're your disciples, because we just love with the love Jesus has given to us. Old chorus I heard years ago, I love you with the love of the Lord. And it says, I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love. Is your glory in us, Jesus? That's our desire. May your love be shed abroad in us. May your passion. Boy, I tell you what, Lord, when Ken sings, you just hear it in his voice. May it be in our lives, Lord. May it be in our lives. And may you propel these that we're going to baptize here in a little bit, may you propel them forward in your kingdom. In your kingdom. I'd like us just to take 2 minutes. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed, just 2 minutes. I'm going to invite you to come and pray. That lets you know I'm not going to linger. 2 minutes. The clock is ticking. You're welcome to come and kneel at the altar. This is a sign of our outward commitment to say, you know what, I got something I need to pray about. And maybe you've been here at the altar before and prayed about it, but there's something in your bucket that's not allowing God's love to be unleashed. The love of Jesus, the power of the cross and the empty tomb to be unleashed in your life. And you want to come pray about that. What's your struggle? What's the sin that has captivated you? Or what is the fear that captivates you? And you just need to come pray about it. Just come pray. You know, that's the great thing is, as I read in 1 John chapter 3, Jesus has already made the sacrifice. All you have to do is now pray and receive the forgiveness, receive the healing, receive the anointing, whatever it is that God wants to pour into you. Feel free to come and pray. Just want to come and pray a moment. I don't want us to miss this great love. This great love. It's huge. It's huge. Cards are nice, flowers are wonderful, candy's awesome, but nothing replaces His great love shed abroad in our hearts because of a cross, an old bloodied up cross. You know something I just thought about here in prayer? There's no blood drops around the tomb. See, all the blood was shed on the cross. The sacrifice was completed on the cross. So we don't have to keep making sacrifices. We don't have to keep hanging each other on crosses. All we do is just go to the cross and say, thank you, Jesus, because you left it all on the cross. Hear people talk about leaving it on the field. Jesus left it on the cross. Left it all there. Jesus, thank you for new beginnings. Thank you for the celebration of baptism. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you want to do life with us and help us to have that same burning desire in our heart to do life with other people, that we will arrange our schedule, we will arrange our mindset, we will let go of the stuff that's been cramming our bucket with garbage and allow your love to fill us so that we can become the love that we're supposed to show to other people. We just want to live that scripture. That's how we're going to be found out as Christians. By that love, that love that the father had when the younger son came back. That's how we're going to be found out. Help us, I pray. Help us, Jesus. Be with the needs at the altar. Be with the needs in the sanctuary, Lord. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.